Thank God. We ain't everything we ought to be. Thank God we ain't what we used to be. Amen. Take your Bible and go to Acts chapter number 5 tonight. Acts chapter number 5. Everybody doing okay? Say amen.
Amen.
Acts chapter number 5. I'm going to continue the little series. I've been preaching some on Wednesday nights. Last Wednesday, Levi preached, but just skipped a week there. But we've been talking about making a difference. Our theme for the year, our calendar this year, is our theme is Jude 22, and if some have compassion, making a difference. That is, I believe that is the sole purpose of the church. It's not to have an exercise program. It's not to be a place of entertainment. It's to make a difference in the lives of people. I want to show you something tonight. We've talked about how relationships make a difference and about how living a spirit-filled life makes a difference. Tonight, I want us to look at this little thought just for a few minutes. Faithfulness makes a difference. Faithfulness makes a difference. Or, to make a difference, go the distance. To make a difference, go the distance. We're living in a day when not many are going the distance. They start off and they start well. I used to be real impressed with a young preacher get on fire for God and want to set the world on fire. Boy, that impressed me. As I get older, I'll turn 50 years old this year. Starting well doesn't impress me much anymore. Amen. I love Brother Jason Crow. I love his zeal. I love his excitement about the ministry and helping broken men and broken homes. I love the burden that he's got. But I tell you what's really going to impress me, if he still has that burden 20 years from now and 30 years from now, and he's still doing the same thing and has not changed. We are living in a day of unfaithfulness. Would you agree? When we think about faithfulness, the first thing that comes to our mind, oh boy, the preacher's fixing to talk about being faithful to church. No, that's something anybody can do. Amen. A sorry Christian can be faithful to church. But as I started studying this thing out about faithfulness and being faithful, faithful or faithfulness is often tied to difficulty. You understand that? Faithfulness is often tied to difficulty. Anybody can be faithful when everything's wonderful. You can be faithful when there's money in the checking account and there's health in your body and nobody's talking about you and everything's Oreo blizzards and banana splits. Everybody can be faithful then. But it's when the devil sticks his foot in the door and sticks his nose in your business and things get a little bit rough, we're not breeding. Breeding may not be the right term. We're not manufacturing tough people anymore. How about that? I don't want to sound ugly, but we're not making tough people. Everybody is so thin-skinned. Everybody wears their feelings on their sleeve. You can't even tell a joke anymore without somebody getting mad. Amen. You remember the NAACP and ALCU or whatever them initials are? They all got up in arms over the tomahawk chop. Y'all remember that? They wanted to protest and ban the Atlanta Braves from doing the tomahawk chop. They went up to Cherokee, North Carolina, and interviewed the Indians to see how they felt about it. Every one of them said basically the same thing. We like it. We think it's cool. Amen. Just people want to fuss and rant and rave about something. They're too soft. Amen. You can't say anything about anybody anymore without it being, oh, that hurt my feelings. Amen. We need to toughen up. I'm telling you, the devil's raging. Times are not going to get easier. They're going to get tougher, especially on the child of God. And we need to get a little bit of grit in our crawl and make up our minds. I'm not changing because of whatever people say or whatever people do. We're living in a day of unfaithfulness. As a Baptist preacher, now you need to remind yourself every now and then to back up out there in the yard and look at the sign. We Baptist. Amen. So it doesn't bother me when it offends somebody when I preach the doctrine of eternal security. Or what they call it, once saved, always saved. I'm a Baptist. It doesn't bother me when people are offended that I say something against speaking in an unknown tongue. We're Baptist. We're not joining the Let's Take Baptist Off Our Sign Club. We're not doing that. Everywhere I look, and what this is, they're still having church, but they're being unfaithful to some Bible principles that they once adhered to and agreed to. It's happening all over our country, and it is hitting the South right here in our area big time. I could put you in my truck and drive you from church after church after church that are Baptist churches that are no longer faithful to the Scriptures. Amen. No longer faithful to the Scriptures. There was a day in our area, in our society, when you went to church and you opened your Bible to where the preacher said that you didn't wonder if yours was going to read like his. Y'all don't die on me. I still believe this King James Bible is the Word of God. Amen. I don't have the big DR in front of my name, but I got enough Bible education, I can prove it. Amen. I don't need a simpler version. This is as simple as she gets right here. Somebody said, well, I don't like the these and the thous. No, friend, you don't like the Bible. I don't want my Bible to read like the USA Today. Amen. The Bible ought to be different. Amen. Well, y'all okay? They're unfaithful to the Scriptures. They're unfaithful to the singing. I grew up singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. It'll be a cold day in the booger man's house before we follow some bouncing ball up here on the screen and sing these little 7-Eleven choruses where you ain't got the seven words and you repeat them 11 times. Amen? That's 7-Eleven music. You say, preacher, don't knock that. I'm not knocking what anybody else does. I'm talking about what we do. We're going to open that old hymn book. Let me say it again. We're going to open that old hymn book. We're going to find something old blind Fanny Crosby wrote. Or old John Newton, or one of them Charles, what was their names? Wesley, one of them Wesley brothers. We're going to find an old hymn of the faith, amen? The Bible says speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. They're not faithful to the Scripture. They're not faithful to the singing. And they're not faithful to the services of God. Amen. I got invited to a place to preach some time ago, and I sent Levi a picture as soon as I got there. I walked in. They didn't have a pulpit. They had this little glass lectern up there, and I thought, man, I'll break that thing. Amen. Preachers aren't preaching anymore. Are y'all all right? Somebody sent me a picture yesterday. Was it you? It was a picture of Joel Osteen. Who sent me that? Somebody sent me a picture of Joel Osteen. He's got that big possum-eating briars grin on his face, and he's got his hands up like that, and it says, look, no Bible. Amen. That's kind of like the little kid, look, Mom, no hands. Look, no Bible. I don't need a Bible to do what I do. No, you don't need a Bible to do what you do. But to preach the Word of God, you need a B-I-B-L-E. Amen. Amen. Our preaching doesn't please everybody all the time. Amen. How do you know if something in your life is wrong unless somebody tells you? If sin is never mentioned, well, it's not preaching. Jesus mentioned hell twice more than he mentioned heaven. Amen. We got preachers across America that won't say sin, much less preach against it. They won't mention hell. No, how dare they mention hell? I'm glad I'm not preaching for a committee. Amen. I'm glad I don't have to answer to a deacon board after every service who is critiquing everything I say and say, Pastor, you need to leave this out and leave that out because so-and-so's here and so. I don't care who's here. Amen. If the Pope walks in the door, I'm going to preach Jesus is the way, the only way. Amen. I don't care who it is. I'm going to preach the book. Amen. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. Listen, I'll read the scripture in a minute. When we first came here, hey, I start approaching an hour. Wave at me, okay? It's been bad here lately. When we first came here 16, 17 years ago, moved here from Dallas, we had a lot of criticism, a lot of critique, a lot of negative press, if you will. They even wrote stuff about us in the paper. They thought we were off our rocker and crazy. They were pretty well right. Amen. Somebody preach in the street, that's unheard of. Man, every church did it way back in the day. Amen. Every church had people preaching the name of Jesus Christ on the street corner back in the day. I've got pictures of in the Villarican newspaper from the 50s with Brother Carl Mitchell, who was a member of our church. He died at 93, standing on the street corner right down there in front of the police station preaching the Word of God. Amen. That used to be normal. What happened? There's not many faithful anymore. But 20 years later, 17 years later, they don't think about us like they did. Not quite as many of them do anyway. You know why? We're still here. We're still here. Usually when a bunch of zealous nuts come on the scene, don't worry, they won't last long. But I want our church to be a picture of faithfulness. If you come back here 20 years from today, I still want to have the same Bible. Whether it's me in the pulpit, I'll probably be dead and gone, or I hope rapture takes place before then. But I hope 20 years from now it's the same book. I hope it's the same song book. There won't be no rock band on this stage. Amen. 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 I'll tell you about how adamant I am about that. If y'all voted me out and y'all started having rock music in here, I'd burn this place down. Amen. I probably wouldn't do that. I'd want to. Amen. I wonder how many old preachers, you ever heard the old term, I bet so-and-so's rolling over in their grave? Yeah. Amen. I got too many preachers in heaven that come back and whoop me. Amen. Make a difference. Go the distance. Make a difference. Go the distance. I wonder how many people are lost tonight because they've got their eye on some Christian who quit. When things got tough, they threw in the towel. I want to encourage you, listen, it makes a difference if you'll hang in there. If you'll hang in there, it will make a difference. Look at Acts chapter number 5, and I'm going to read quite a few verses. Maybe I'll cut some out so I won't be so long tonight. Verse number 16, the Bible said, there came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirit, and they were healed, every one. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. Now, pay attention. When you start doing something for God, don't think everybody's going to like it. Amen. Everybody's not going to like a place for homeless men six miles down the street here. Amen. Somebody didn't like it when we started an RU ministry, that Reformers Unanimous, an addictions program. Somebody actually said this to me. Is that really the kind of people you want to attract to our church? How stupid does that sound? Come on, how idiotic does that sound? The church is their hope. The church is their help. If they can't come in here to get off the drugs, where are they going to go? The 7-step programs are not working. Are you listening? Man, we're a hospital for sinners. Amen. Let me say it again. We're a hospital for sinners. When we start doing something for God, don't get upset when everybody doesn't like it. Amen. We've been called a cult by churches all over this area. A cult. There is no Kool-Aid in my pulpit. There is no rattlesnakes. We're not fixing to catch a comet off to somewhere. We're just old-fashioned, Bible-believing Christians. We're not a cult. Amen. Janet Reno said a cult was anybody with strong beliefs in the Bible, who believes in homeschooling their children, and believes in the imminent return of Jesus Christ. That's what she said a cult was. Well, if that's a cult, I guess we are. Amen. These guys came on the scene preaching and teaching, and people were being healed, and demons were being cast out, and the religious crowd got mad. When we're out on the street or we're out knocking on doors, I never, ever, ever get flack from anybody in a vehicle that doesn't have one of them fish on the back of their car. We rode horses Monday night, and I was coming home, and I was coming up Highway 92 and fixing to turn onto Ridge Road, and the light turned right as I got there, and I was turning right, and I'm pulling a horse trailer with an 1,100-pound quarter horse in it with a Toyota. Not the best stopping ability in the world. And the light turned, and I thought, well, I ain't stopping. I'm just going to shoot on through there, and I did. I shot on through there, and the guy coming from the other direction, turning on 92, cut right in front of me. And as he did, he stuck his hand out the window and waved at me with one finger, and it wasn't that one. And every time I'd get close to him, he'd do it again. I didn't get in the flesh. Bad. But I got to looking at his car tag. And down there, that sticker where it usually says Paulding County or Carroll County or Douglas County, you know what it said? In God we trust. I was hoping for a red light. I wanted to get out and preach a devil out of that guy. Amen. Listen, if you're going to have scripture on your car or a statement like in God we trust, don't go flipping the finger out the window. It just shows what you really are, a stinking hypocrite. Amen. Listen, these guys came preaching and people didn't like it, man. They didn't like it. I want you to notice something, who is a picture of faithfulness, and that's our Savior. Job said his Redeemer was faithful and true. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, and I believe it's verse number 9, and then 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse number 13, the Bible says this, makes this very statement, God is faithful. God is faithful. To be Christian is to be Christ-like, and if we're to be Christ-like, we must be found faithful. Would you agree? Amen. Take your Bible and go to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 20. Proverbs chapter number 20. Keep your Bibles out. We're going to look at some scripture tonight. Proverbs chapter number 20. Look with me at verse number 6. God is searching for faithful men and women. The Bible said most men will proclaim every one his own goodness. But a faithful man, who can find? And there's a question mark right there at the end of that verse. A faithful man, who can find? Listen, I'm not saying there are not faithful people. There are. But they are few and far between. Amen. The very first thing I start worrying about when adversity comes in people's lives in our church, the very first thing I worry about is they're going to turn their back on God, they're going to quit God, they're going to give up on church, they're going to throw in the towel. And when everything's shouting happy, they're great. When there's money in the checking account and the health and all that good stuff. But boy, when the dark clouds roll in and it gets tough and it gets hard, boy, that's when I start praying really, really hard that you would just hang in there like a hair in a biscuit, saying, by the grace of God, I'm not moving. This is where God put me. This is where God planted me. And by His help and His mercy, I'm not going to give up. God is searching for some faithful people. I gave a guy a job here one time. And somebody who had been in the church a lot longer than he got mad about it. And he got mad enough about it to say something to me. He said, I've been here a lot longer than he has. Why did you give him that job? I've been here a lot longer than he has. I said, maybe in years, but not in services. Why'd you give him that job? It's simple. I could count on him. Amen. It's simple. I could count on him. I give people jobs who aren't looking for jobs. I give people titles who aren't looking for titles. 9 times out of 10, they're already doing the job that goes with the title. Y'all all right? A lot of people want a title. You got to watch out for them title wanters. They don't last very long. Nobody comes in and says, hey, I want to help in the bus ministry. Nobody ever says that. They come in and say, I want to be a bus captain. How do you be a bus captain? You never rode a bus. Amen. Wouldn't it be good if you knew what you were doing before you started? Wouldn't it be good if you got some kind of training before you started a bus? People get mad. Now, I'll never get all this preached tonight. People get mad in the bus ministry. They get mad at me, or they get mad at the leadership in the bus ministry over this or that, and they quit. And they think they're quitting me, and they think they're quitting the leadership. They're not quitting me, and they're not quitting the bus leadership. They're quitting those children. And basically and ultimately, they are quitting God. Some of you Sunday school teachers get mad because this don't go your way or that don't go your way. And I bless God, I know what I'll do. I'll quit. Don't you understand when you do that, the devil's won? The devil has used you to get a point on his board. The devil has used you to gain a victory because through your defeat, somebody else is going down. Amen. The worst thing you can ever do, and we do a lot of stuff with children around here, the worst thing you can ever do is quit them. Worst thing you can ever do is quit on a kid.
Amen.
Amen. My baby girl's mad to this day. I shouldn't say that from the pulpit. She's mad that Brother Eric left here. He was her youth pastor. Brother Eric, I said something about Brother Eric one day. She said, I'm still mad. I told Eric too. He knows it. She said, I'm still mad at him. I said, what are you mad at Eric for? She said, he left me. Now, I'm not saying it wasn't God's will that he leave. Sometimes God does promote us and move us on, but in a child's eyes. They don't always understand that stuff. Amen. Listen, I'm looking for some longevity out of you guys. My mother ran a bus route for 25 years. Some of you bus captains may be thinking, I've done this long enough. Have you got 25 in yet? How many generations have you seen come through that bus route? What I'm saying is hang in there. Listen, I've been here 20 years. Y'all heard all my jokes. Amen. Y'all know all my stories, all my illustrations. Some of my sermons you've heard at least twice. But just because the newness is wore off doesn't mean it's time to go. The average Baptist preacher stays somewhere 5 years. You know why? He don't want to study. He preaches everything he knows in 5 years and then goes and preaches it all somewhere else again. Amen. And then there's no stability. I've been here 20 years, and I ain't going nowhere no time soon. Our banker, we're working on refinancing our church. Our banker, you know what he was impressed with more than anything? He wasn't impressed with our finances, by the way. He didn't look at our finances, Brother Freddie, and go, wow. Well, he kind of did. He kind of did, but not in a good way. It wasn't a wow. It was a wow. Really? Y'all do all this with that? Man, God's awesome at math. Amen. You know what he is impressed with? I've had the same secretary for 18 years. We've had the same leadership forever. He said, how often does things change over? I said, they don't. We just work together and grow together and battle together and love together and we get through the stuff. He said, man, this is impressive. This man makes commercial loans for a living. He told us how many churches that he had loaned money. He said, I've never seen anything like this, ever. Ever. And I told him, I said, well, one of my pet peeves is longevity. Listen, I want us to grow old together. Amen. I want us to still be together when we're all Brother Earl's age. Amen. I want us still be in here serving God together. Amen. But we're going to have to fight some battles. Amen. And we're going to have to get through some junk. I want you to notice a couple of things. Look, I was going to show you another verse of Scripture. Proverbs chapter number 28. Proverbs chapter number 28. I went plumb out of Proverbs. Y'all bear with me. Proverbs chapter number 28. Y'all don't mind looking at the Bible a little bit tonight, do you? Proverbs chapter number 28. Look at verse number 20. Proverbs 28 and verse number 20. Now watch this. God's looking for some faithful men. And I believe with all my heart God blesses faithful men and women. In verse number 20, the Bible said, a faithful man shall abound with what? Blessings. But he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Listen, God is looking for faithful people. God blesses faithful people. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 7, we find out that in God's servants, faithfulness is required. Faithfulness is required. That's one of the only requirements God put on us. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. You know what a steward is? That's you and I. A steward is a caretaker, if you will. We're here to take care of God's business and God's church till he returns. Amen? That's our job. And it's required in us, you and I. It's not just the pastor's job, it's all our job. We're everyone required to be found faithful. That means, I was in church, but I got hurt. We used to go here, but we got hurt. Somebody talked about us here. Somebody done us wrong here. Man, if we quit every time we're done wrong. Now, let me encourage you. If I come in here with a Mickey Mouse Bible Sunday morning, and I'm sitting on a bar stool with a pair of flip-flops and Bermuda shorts, I can recommend you a couple of good churches. Amen. This will no longer be it. Amen. Amen. But unless something falls on my head and I lose my mind, we'll still be in a suit and we'll still be in a pulpit and it'll still be this King James Bible. Amen. Amen. A Amen. It's required in us that we be found faithful. Listen, I listened, I shouldn't have done it. I listened to myself. Somebody brought me a tape a while back. You know, you don't even see tapes anymore. A cassette tape. They brought me a cassette tape and said, man, this is when you first started. And I listened to that tape, and I thought, wow. Boy, you talk about a hick. People think I'm a hick now. No. I couldn't understand myself. But I made Gomer Pyle look like a New Yorker, amen? But I got to listening, and you know what? We're still preaching the exact same thing. Just not quite as stupid as we were back then. Amen. Back then, we'd cuss from the pulpit. Oh, yeah, I don't mean cuss like you thought, but stuff we wouldn't say now. Amen. I've learned over the years there are a nicer way to say some things. Amen. But I was listening to myself, and I was going, I wouldn't let that guy preach for me. Amen. But the message is still the same. Amen. It hadn't changed not one little bit. Hey, it's required of us that we be found faithful. I want you to notice a couple of things. Go back to, go to 2 Thessalonians. Go there. I want you to notice the circumstances this early church endured. The circumstances this early church endured. I had that mark, and I don't know which one it was. Where did I tell y'all to go? That's what I thought I said. Let's see. There it is. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. Look at verse number 4. Paul says, so that we ourselves glory in you, in the churches of our God, for your patience and faith in all your what? Persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. Go back to Acts chapter number 5. Listen, we're going to have circumstances come our way. There are going to be days as a church we disagree. If you find a pastor that you agree with everything he says, you're brainwashed. Amen. Are y'all all right?
Yes, sir.
Man, my heroes, there were things they said that I disagree with.
Right.
Amen. There are men that I have great respect for. Jack Hiles inspired me to be the preacher I am, probably more than any other preacher, but he would say stuff and I'd think, that's stupid. That's the stupidest thing I ever heard in my life. I mean, I'd go out there and go to pastor school, man. I'd travel halfway across the country, hear that guy preach twice a day. He encouraged me, but he'd say stuff, and I'd think, that ain't right. Just because he said it didn't make it gospel.
Amen.
Amen. Just because he said it, and there are other guys, man, they'll say stuff, and listen, I know how to spit out the bones, and you got to learn that. You're not going to agree with everything I say. Please don't. That'll make you a robot. God made us individuals. But as long as we can agree on the main things,
amen,
we'll be all right.
Amen.
There's some things I'll fight you over.
Amen.
Amen. Whether or not it's a sin for a woman to wear pants ain't one of them. That, y'all all right? I ain't going to fight you over that. Now, I'll fuss with you over modesty.
Amen.
I believe that's a biblical issue.
Amen.
Amen. I'd rather see a woman in pants than some of the dresses I see. I see some of these ladies look like, nah, this ain't got nothing to do with the message. Look like they cut the toe end out of a tube sock and pulled. Dear God, if she had some Levi's, we'd be blessed. Amen. Y'all all right? I like what old Mays Jackson said. Y'all remember Mays, Brother Mays? That's one of my heroes, Brother Mays. He said, God said, let your light shine before men. But he didn't say your headlights. And he didn't say your taillights. Amen. Brother Mays is in heaven right now saying, attaboy, son. Amen. That's the way the old men of God used to preach, friend. Amen. Woo, boy, can we run some rabbits or what? Acts chapter number 5, look at verse number 17. Y'all okay? These guys endured an unfair arrest. Acts chapter 5, look at verse number 17. The Bible said, then the high priest arose up And all they that were with him, which is a sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. Did they do anything wrong?
No.
You'll be judged the hardest when you do right. Amen. You will be judged the hardest when you do right. I taught my son to have manners. Nobody does that anymore. My grandkids come to the house. Hayden, he's my buddy. He's mini me. He's me made over. I'll ask him a question. He'll say, yeah. I'll say, what? Yeah. I'll say, what? He'll say, yeah. I'll say, what? He'll say, yes, sir. Amen. Nobody teaches manners anymore. I taught my son to hold the door for women. I forgot, he's a little old bitty thing. We was at the mall or somewhere one day, and he held the door for a lady. It offended her. I guess she was a feminist. I said, trip the heifer, son, as she goes in. No, I didn't. Just when you try to do right, somebody's gonna be upset and ridicule you. Amen. You know who the Sanhedrin were, the Sadducees? You know who they were? They were the religious judges. They were the guys that anybody came to town preaching the wrong thing, they dealt with them. These guys are preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and buddy, they thought they put all that trouble on a cross. They didn't realize it was just getting started. They didn't realize the cross was just the beginning of something huge. Amen. They endured an unfair arrest. Listen, I don't care who you are, if you're saved and you live for God anytime, somebody's going to do you wrong. Go ahead, mark her down. People come to me over the years, and over 20 years, I've been asked several times, preacher, what do you think about me and brother so-and-so going in business? No, don't, no. I ain't never seen it work out. I know people who used to be in church together hate one another till this day because they put money in between them. Amen. I ain't saying it can't work. It can. But boy, you find very few people who are faithful enough to the principles of the Word of God. Amen. I've said this many times. I never loan money. Ever. I don't loan my son money. I give my son money if he needs it. I don't loan people in this church money. I give them, if I have it, I give them money. Somebody says, Brother Eddie, can I borrow such and such? No, but I'll give you such and such. Well, I'll pay you back someday. Okay. If they do, hallelujah. Lord bless them, they gave it back. If they don't, my feelings are not hurt because the intentions I gave it with was a gift anyway. Are you all right? Amen. I know a guy in my home church growing up, the church wanted to pave the parking lot and buy a new piano. He gonna loan the church the money. Charged them 8% interest. Church member. Boy, it got quiet. Y'all ain't charging church interest, are you? Sure. Amen. I understand that. That was his money that was in the bank. But he was charging more interest for us than he was what the bank was giving. Anyway, somebody's going to do you wrong. Listen, somebody is going to talk about you. Somebody's going to hurt your feelings. I don't care, but you need to make up your mind. I'm not in this thing for what everybody else says or does. I'm in this thing to please God. Amen. We're going to have some circumstances that we're just going to have to endure. Everything in the Christian life, I don't care what Mr. Osteen says, is not enjoyable. You can read your bigger, better you. Some of y'all have found that. You can read your bigger, better you till your eyeballs fall out. And that doesn't mean every day is going to be peaches and cream, buddy. Some days it's going to cloud up. Some days are just going to be bad. Amen. I have bad days. How about y'all? Amen. My boss at Stasco Mechanical years ago, fine Christian man, P.D. Hendricks. I called in to work one day. I said, I ain't coming in. He said, are you sick? I said, yeah. He said, no, you're not. He said, you're going fishing. How did he know my boat's already hooked up to my truck? I ain't got a clue. He's got ESPN, ESP, whatever you call it. He's got some kind of proprioceptive, whatever, vision, something. He can see my boat behind my truck. He said, look, son. He said, everybody has a blah day every now and then. Go ahead and have yourself one. Come in a better mood tomorrow. Okay. By the way, I'm going to have one next week, too. Amen. As long as these fish on bed, I'm going to have a bad day every week. Amen. Listen, they endured an unfair arrest. In verse number 27, they endured unfounded accusations. Verse number 27. The Bible said, and when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intended to bring this man's blood upon us. Blah, 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 blah. Listen, man, people are going to talk about you. People are going to write stuff about you on Facebook. You want me to tell you how to avoid that heartache?
Amen.
Close the stupid thing. I know it has its good points, but it has more bad than good.
Amen.
I'm kind of like the preacher. The kids at church, the teenagers, told him to go see a certain movie. They said, preacher, you got to go see this movie. It's awesome. It's the greatest movie we ever saw, and it only has one cuss word in it. So that night, the preacher made a big old chocolate cake, put candles on it, brought it in, 7-layer chocolate cake, brought that thing in, said, this is for our teenagers. He said, this is homemade chocolate cake. It's chocolate cake. It's chocolate icing. Homemade chocolate icing. And my wife makes the best cake in the world. This is for you, young people. Enjoy it. It only has one piece of dog mess in it. Amen. That's enough. Wouldn't it be for you? Amen. Well, I just don't pay attention to the bad stuff on Facebook. You're lying. Your nature cannot avoid it. You have inquiring minds. You got to know.
Yeah.
Amen. When they started that Villarica blog about me, somebody said, oh, you got to go to this website. No. But there was inside me something going, I wanted to read it.
Yeah.
You were the same way. Amen. Right. Somebody's going to talk about you. Somebody's going to lie about you. You ever been lied about?
Yeah.
Every one of us has. So just go ahead and hunker down. Somebody in this church, sooner or later, will say something about you. Well, I don't go to that church because people talk about one another. You're out of church then. You just forget going to anyone. Because as soon as they get to know you, they're going to say something about you. Y'all all right? Boy, y'all got quiet on me. Listen, they endured an unfair arrest. They endured unfounded accusations. They endured unfortunate abuse. They beat these guys, man. They beat these guys. I got people quitting church because somebody Facebooked them. They beat them.
Yeah.
Amen.
I mean, they literally beat them. Come in here with black eyes, and then you might have something to moan about. Now don't come crying to me, somebody talked about you on Facebook. Why, why? I get so sick of that mess. Babies. Instead of Baptist church, it ought to be called baby church.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Somebody said, so-and-so's talking about you. Good. They're giving somebody else a break. Amen.
Right.
Amen. Listen, the circumstances they endured. I'm trying to encourage you to be faithful. But now I want you to notice this. Along with the circumstances that they had to endure, there was some companionship that they got to experience.
Amen.
There is some companionship that you will only experience in difficult times.
Amen.
There is a relationship with the Lord that you will know nowhere else outside of trouble. You understand that? Greatest experience I've ever had with the Lord after my salvation was when my son lay in a coma. To me, it was not more real. It was as real as my salvation.
Yes, sir.
God may as well have sat down on the foot of my bed in that Ronald McDonald House in Rome, Georgia, and spoke to me with an audible voice.
Amen.
I would have been no more amazed if he had. It was that evident. It was that clear. My relationship with the Lord went to a whole nother level.
But it wasn't during a happy time. It was during a tough time. But you look at verse number 27 of chapter number 5. We'll try to stay right here, okay, and wrap this thing up. Verse number 19. I apologize. Verse number 19. Now, in verse number 18, they laid hands on them, put them into common prison. Now watch, we've got that little conjunction there in verse 19. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. How about that? And isn't it a blessing when the Lord shows up? When your day ain't going very good at all? The angel of the Lord showed up. Opened the prison. You can read on in here in a little while. Man, the guards didn't even know they was gone. The Sadducees sent them down there and said, check on them prisoners. Somebody said they're down there in the temple teaching. They went and they said the guards are in their place. And the prison's secure. Everything's shut up, but ain't nobody in there. The angel of the Lord showed up. You ever had God show up in your situation? God show up in your circumstance? God show up and put his arm around you at the funeral home? God crawl up beside you in the altar when your heart's broken? Hey, it's in difficult times that we get to experience the sweet companionship of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? Amen. Instead of looking for the fault and looking for what's wrong everywhere in your situation, won't you look for God? Amen. You want to stay faithful? Find him in every situation. Amen. That'll keep you from blowing up. That'll keep you from blowing out. Amen. Listen, the Lord's intervention gave them liberty. Look at Psalms chapter number 34. Psalms chapter number 34. What time is it? How long have I been going, Brother James? About 20 minutes? I'll hurry. Psalms chapter number 24. I don't see how people actually teach the Bible and do it in 20 minutes. They ain't teaching much, amen? What did I say, Psalms what? 34? Did I say 24? I meant 34. Psalms, yeah, it's all good, amen. Psalms chapter 34 and verse number 19. Psalms 34, what? I'm where I'm supposed to be. I don't know about y'all. Psalms 34 and verse number 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteousness. Now watch this. There's that little bud again. But the Lord delivereth him out of all them. The Bible says weeping may endure for a night. But joy cometh in the morning. Don't quit when things are bad. You want to quit? Quit when things are right. Quit when things are good. See if you want to quit then. What I'm trying to say is stick it out. Enjoy the liberty that Christ will give you in your trouble. Man, I'm glad we stuck through some battles because we're on this side of it now and we can look back and shout about it. Amen. There were days when I laid my head on my kitchen table and said, Lord, I quit. I'm done. I'm glad we didn't quit. I'm glad we gritted our teeth, put our face in the wind, and just kept on. Like that old song says, it's been worth every mile. It's been worth every trial. It's been worth every valley that we've had to walk through. Man, it is worth it. Amen. Somebody said, when we get to heaven, that old song, it will be worth it all. It's worth it all now. If there is no heaven, and there is, it's already been worth it all. Amen. Listen, man, the companionship they experienced. Listen, then after that experience, their instruction that Christ gave them added to their responsibility. Look at verse number 20. Now he's broke them out of jail. Then he says in verse number 20, go stand and speak in the temple. Wait a minute now. That's what we just got locked up for. That's what they put us in jail for. Well, that's what you got to go do. That's what you got to go do. Moses is a fugitive wanted for murder in Egypt. When God shows up 40 years later in the burning bush, guess where God sends him? Right back to Egypt. I met a fellow the other day. He said, I cannot believe you're pastoring in your hometown. I said, dude, I went to kindergarten right back there where our kids are in the nursery tonight. That's where I went to kindergarten when this was the First Baptist Church. My mama worked at Villa Rica Hospital. And I went to kindergarten right here. Yeah, I grew up right here. Amen. I'm glad God saved me. He could have sent me anywhere. But I'm glad He saved me and sent me to preach to the people I grew up with.
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad I got to get to have the childhood friends that I grew up with sitting in church with me.
Amen.
Amen. Sunday morning there'll be a passel of them. There's a few here tonight.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for that, man. Ain't many preachers get to say that. Amen. Thank God, man. Listen, they got their instruction. Now listen, a lot of times we'll go through a little trouble and then we'll want to ignore the instructions. Somebody slammed the door on our face last night. We're not going back on visitation. That ought to fire you up.
Yeah.
Amen. I'd rather get a door slammed in my face than have one of them chihuahuas on acid come flying out through the screen door. Amen. Every door we knocked on last night, every one of them go. My heart just does double take, man. Because they don't go. They don't bark like normal. I mean, they just go boom. They just explode. We knocked on one lady's door. It took her 5 minutes to come to the door to get them dogs under control. My wife said, how could you love a dog that much? Did you have to put up with that every time somebody comes to your house? She had like 7 or 8 of them. She had cracked the door, stuck her foot in it like that, and had her face out like that. Had a wiener dog up under her arm, looking like it wanted to eat my face off. I ain't going back on visitation. Man, it's fun.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. We met one old grumpy guy last night. I mean, he was grumpy. He was a crab. Him and his son was working in the yard. His son, I seen the guy come around the corner. He saw us at the house next door. He shot in the garage. The old guy did. His teenage boy was standing in the driveway. I handed him one of our gospel tracts, told him where we was from. I looked in there and started speaking to his dad. He said, yeah. I need to turn around and walk off. I started to say, jerk. No, I didn't. Man, that's part of it. Every negative response you get, you're one more closer to somebody that wants to hear what you have to say. Amen. We had people tell us last night they're looking for a church. We talked with an older black couple, moved here to help their daughter. Moved here, they're from Ohio, and they won't tell me about barbecue, Stacy. Oh yeah, I said, no, y'all, he had a smoker in his backyard. I said, man, you Yankees, you don't know nothing about no smoker. I said, you need to come hang out with us. Amen, they're gonna be here Sunday. They're gonna be here. They said, we've been needing to go to church. He said, my daughter goes to church in the noon, and that's too far to go to church. I said, man, we right down the street. He said, will you come get me? I said, yeah, man, we'll come get you. He said, well, call me Saturday. Got their number. Isn't that cool? Talked to another lady. She said, we need to find a church home. Had 4 people last night, if I've got it right, 4 people specifically asked for directions. Now, tell me where your church is. Amen. I hope all 4 of them come. But if they don't, I'm going to go again next Tuesday.
Amen.
Amen. Why? God honors it.
Amen.
Them 4 may not be here, but I guarantee you there'll be 4 visitors here Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, the circumstances they endured, the companionship they experienced. Man, you want to have a great relationship with the Lord, hang with Him even when it gets tough.
Amen.
People quit too quick. Let me say it again. People quit too quick. You don't get to see the outcome.
Amen.
Casey was telling me before church tonight, he said, Chad planted, Brother Freddie watered. Is that right? Or something like that.
Yeah.
And God gave the increase. Anyway, he was telling me that verse. You know, I forgot who he said did what. But he's talking about Tyler getting saved, man. What a blessing.
Amen.
What a blessing. So many people plant seeds. And they start serving God, and then something happens, some circumstance in their life arises, and they quit, and they never get to see the outcome of it. You know what I love? I love marrying kids that grew up in our church. I love going to the hospital when their babies was born. You know what I'm fixing to start seeing? I'm fixing to start being able to marry some of the babies that were born in our church. Already have. Got to marry some babies that were born since I was the pastor of the church. Isn't that cool? Little kids I held. Man, I get to stand here and watch them repeat their vow.
Amen.
And when their baby's born, I'm going to go to the hospital and hold it. Amen.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Man, I hope as a 70-year-old man, maybe, them little babies I'm going to the hospital to hold, I hope I get to do their weddings too. Amen. You don't know what you're missing when you quit too soon. Listen, the circumstances they endured, the companionship they experienced, and the character they exhibited. Look at verse number 27. Boy, if you're going to be faithful, you're going to have some character. And you don't see that much anywhere today. Amen. There ain't no character in our country. It's gone. It's dying. People don't even know how to dress. If I'd have left the house for Walmart when I was a kid in my pajamas, my mama would have slapped the taste out of my mouth. I see grown women. Hey, I'm going to get on a soapbox again. I better not catch one of y'all at Walmart in your pajamas and fuzzy slippers. I see grown women at Walmart all the time in flannel pajamas. I'm like, put clothes on. I'm going out in public. See boys running around with breeches down around their bottom of their rear end. I just want to give them a wedgie. I just want to walk up behind them at McDonald's and go, whoa. That's what we'd have done in school, ain't that right?
Amen.
If you'd have wore your pants. I seen a boy the other day, had his belt around right here, and he's walking like this. I ain't afraid to fight them guys. They can't run. Hey, man, they ain't going to shoot you. They're too busy holding their britches up, man. Character. I just see me walking out of the house dressed like that as a teenager. Yo, mom, going to Walmart. Hey, y'all. Mama would have put me in time out. She'd have busted me upside the head and said, 1, 2, 3, you're out. Amen. Character. We need some good, godly character. Listen, these guys resisted being silenced. Look at verse number 27. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intended to bring this man's blood upon us. Let's see, verse number 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men.
Amen.
We ought to obey God rather than men. Listen, we have government. God set government in place. And we're going to obey the laws of the land till it's contrary to this book. They can call preaching against abortion a hate crime all they want. I'm going to call it murder till they put me in jail for it. Homosexuality will never be a lifestyle in this church. Are you listening? It's going to be a sin and an abomination before God. Somebody told me one time, said, a homosexual wouldn't be welcome in your church. We've had them more times than you know. And we love them, and we preach to them. But we're not going to condone their sin. Y'all all right? If I have a guy come in here belligerent, staggering, drunk, are you listening? Ain't nobody going to have a problem if that guy sits down on the front row and I preach against alcohol. Y'all okay? I still preach against shacking up. That's old-fashioned, boy. Everybody just wants to live together. Nobody wants to get married anymore. Well, we love each other. Well, then commit. Y'all all right? Had a guy ask me the other day. He said, what's holding us up from joining the church? I said, one of them. Somebody I'm close to. He said, oh, yeah. I said, oh, yeah? Let's get that took care of, man. What's the hold up? Y'all okay? They refuse to be silenced. Just because a big bad big brother up there said, oh, you can't do this. What did the angel of the Lord tell him? Go back to that temple and do what you were doing before they lock you up. Chances are they're going to lock you up again. Now, I know some idiots. I grew up with some guys, man. They'd go to town on Friday night and get in altercations by preaching just so they could get locked up. That's stupid. Amen. That's stupid. You go out looking for a fight, you're going to get it. And if you get in jail, don't call me. I'll say, get you a good night's rest, bud. You got a free cot and a hot meal, enjoy it. Amen. Amen. But listen, we're going to have to make up our minds. We're not changing. Amen. We're not changing. It's tempting, man. You go by some of these mega churches, look at the money they got and the buildings they've got. I mean, boy, it's amazing. And inside your mind, you're thinking, boy, all we'd have to do is back off here, back off there, and add a little this and add a little that. And boy, people would love it. Yeah, but what would God think about it? What would God think about it? I'd rather please God and us meet in a chicken house than I had please society. I'd rather stay faithful to Him than faithful to them. And that's what the apostle said. We ought to obey God rather than you. Amen. And they were religious people. I imagine that hit them right in the gut. Amen. They resisted being silenced. They rejoiced in their suffering. Let me say it again. They rejoiced in their suffering. I'm telling you how the early church made a difference. Look at verse number 40. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Now watch how they left. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing. What were they rejoicing? Because they got let go? I don't think so. They were rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. Wow, how about that? When's the last time you rejoiced because you had a bad day? When's the last time you rejoiced because some of your family were saying you were a fanatic? We agree. Everybody wants their family to get in church, but people get upset when you get serious about it. Oh, they don't care if you go to church on Sunday morning, but you start going back on Sunday night and Wednesday night. You go on visitation and stuff like that, they're going to go, you're just a fanatic.
That's right.
Amen. While they got their little Alabama flags flying out their window. And, amen.
That's right.
And their bulldogs on their tailgates. And we're fanatics.
Yeah.
What's the difference in your bulldog and my scripture? Amen. Everybody's fanatic about something.
Amen.
Amen. We got people so fanatic about deer hunting, they're camouflaging their trucks. How stupid is that? Are you hunting out of it? Is that what?
I don't want the deer to see my truck.
Amen. I'm talking about fanatics, man. Amen. They were rejoicing in their suffering. And lastly, in verse number 42, and I'm done. The Bible said, and daily in the temple and in every house, watch this, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ.
Amen.
They refused to stop.
Amen.
They refused to stop. Under Constantine, there was a lot of persecution of the church. There was a Bohemian reformer by the name of John Huss. John Huss was being burned at the stake for not rejecting Jesus Christ or renouncing Jesus Christ. You know what his dying words were? The last thing that came out of his mouth. I thought I could quote it. I wrote it down. Let me look at it right quick. I want to get it right. This is what John Huss said. What I taught with my lips, I shall seal with my blood. That's stout right there, friend. What I taught with my lips, I shall seal with my blood. I'd say he believed it.
Amen.
I would say he believed it. There was a thief being hanged in London. The priest came to read him his last rites. The thief with a noose hanging around his neck looked at that priest. He said, sir, if I believed what you profess to believe, I'd crawl through the streets of London on broken glass to get to Calvary. If I believe what you say you believe. Boy, we ought to believe this thing with all our heart.
Amen.
And our belief and our faith and our faithfulness in Him ought to be greater than anything anybody can put on Facebook.
Amen.
greater than any kind of preaching could turn away. Amen. Let's be found faithful. You want to make a difference? Go the distance. Amen. Stick it out, even when things are tough. Let's stand to our feet. I didn't mean to preach that long. Yeah, I did. Thank you. We've got our prayer sheets down here. We dismiss on Wednesday nights in this order. Just pick you up a prayer sheet. We'll get in this altar together. Pray till you get done. When you get done praying, you're dismissed.